It is officially August, and this month's Mind Money Balance podcast theme is in the theme of Leo season and the sun being out and it being peak of summertime if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. So what we're going to do over these next few weeks as we kind of get into this month's podcast theme is how can we take a sunnier approach to some scary-ish things in the world of personal finance. So a few things that I hear again and again that people want me to address are about scarcity mindset, your money story, and the fear of a potential recession, either that we're already in or that we're heading into. So today we're going to cover money scarcity mindset and how in today's episode, I hope I can take you through how to look at it a little bit differently and take a look at it through a healthier, sunnier, shame-free way. Abundance mindset gurus and avocado toast shaming personal finance experts have made it really hard to wade through the realities of having a healthy relationship with money. That's why on the Mind Money Balance podcast, I'm here to help you cultivate a balanced relationship with money. I'm your host, Lindsay Brian Podvin. I'm a financial therapist, woman of color, and popcorn connoisseur who also loves nerding out about money and how it intersects with all aspects of our lives. I've expanded my services to help private practice therapists with their money mindset, sustainable pricing, and authentic marketing so they can include financial self-care in their work. Mind Money Balance is the semi-weekly podcast all about making money feel good in your life. Each month, I'll cover a different theme so you can decide if the episode is for you. Ready? Let's go. So there's so much noise in the personal finance space about this idea of scarcity, lack, or poverty mindset versus abundance mindset. And it is really challenging to think about this, particularly because when we just break down the definition of scarcity mindset, it's this enough that there isn't enough to go around and that this particular thing, whatever it is finite. And if one person takes some of it, that means there is less for everyone else. And when it comes to having a scarcity money mindset, it is kind of the same idea, this idea that money is a limited resource or your skills around money is finite. It is not changeable. You can't get better at money. But let's be really clear here. Money in our society isn't really a limited resource, but it is incredibly inequitable in its distribution. So when we think about who has money, there are a handful of people that we can name off the top of our head. We can all name 3 to 5 billionaires in 2 seconds. But when we think about a non-billionaire's relationship to money, it can feel like it's a limited resource, but it's not actually limited. It's just being hoarded by a few people at the top. And when we think about how having a scarcity money mindset might impact our relationship with money, it can get a little bit deeper. Not necessarily, I don't have enough, and then flipping into abundance, oh, there's more than enough, because sometimes there isn't enough. But when we think about the thought around scarcity money mindset, it could show up as, I'll never understand money, or people like me just don't get money, or I'll never be able to save, so what's the point of saving? That's kind of the thought that I'm more interested in dissecting today rather than this black or white, all or nothing. You either have a lack mindset or a growth mindset, which I think is so gross. But I think it's important to think about how can we look at that particular thought. I can't understand money. Money isn't for people like me. And how can we move towards a neutral, sunnier thought? Another thought that comes up a lot that I think is tied into this idea of scarcity mindset is the sunk cost fallacy. So this is something we all experience, but psychology has found again and again that we tend to follow through on things if we've invested money, time, or effort into it, even if continuing to invest more time, more money, more effort into that particular thing, the cost is greater than the benefits. For example, you stay in a money pit house, you keep ripping up floorboards and finding mold and then putting down new floorboards. Then you do the roof. And then when you find the roof, that there's a new leak, and then you have to fix the leak. And then you go to put a porch out back and you realize you have carpenter ants. Instead of just selling that house and saying, look, the energy and money that I'm putting into this house doesn't make sense. I just have to get out while I can and buy a new one. Most people will keep staying in that house because we've already invested time, energy, and money into it. Even though it doesn't make sense to keep throwing money at something that is crumbling and falling apart, most of us have a hard time leaving. To take a different example, let's say you're traditionally employed and you know you're on the edge of burnout, you're freaking miserable, but you're like, if I stay one more year, then I'll get 3 more days of PTO. So the sunk cost fallacy here is that we'll stay in something even though the energy that we're getting out of it is not great, because you think that maybe things will be better if you just stick it out. And I don't have evidence for this next part that I'm about to say, but it makes me think that the kind of American way of thinking about things is just grit and get through it and then you'll be okay. And I wonder if Americans are more likely to get caught up in this sunk cost fallacy than other nationalities because we're so highly individualistic. So how can we not overcome scarcity mindset, but how can we work towards a healthier relationship with some of these very real fears? Let's start with this, I won't get money. Understanding money just isn't for me. I would invite you to think of what is actually true about that and what is actually false about that, right? We might have some proof that we aren't great at money. We missed a credit card payment, or we didn't negotiate a raise. So we've got some proof that maybe you're not great at money. But then on the other hand, you always pay your apartment rent on time. That would be proof that actually you are good at money. Or you sat down with somebody at your work to look at a 401k plan. That would actually be demonstration that you have the capacity to understand money. So moving from I don't get money to I'm amazing at money, this abundance mindset, might be too big a jump for our brain. So instead, it becomes I'm working on understanding money. Or right now, what's most important is figuring out my income and expenses so I can then learn more about different parts of money. So that could be moving toward something that is more positive, but we have to kind of hang out neutral first, okay? Then the other thing that I personally like to do when I'm finding myself in this kind of shame-laden space, less scarcity mindset and more just like feeling badly, is just getting comfortable with good enough. And what's so interesting is I typed in like good enough into Google, and what came up was immediately super individualistic. And it's like, good enough is the enemy of achieving goals. And I was like, JMJ, that is so ridiculous. And so the opposite of the point I'm trying to get across today. But the reality is like, we don't get comfortable with good enough. We are so stuck in black and white, all or nothing, good or bad, that we forget that like, we can just pass. And what I mean by that is like, if you have a college degree, whether you have a 2.5 or 4.0, doesn't matter. You still have the freaking college degree, right? So we have to get comfortable with good enough mindset. And this isn't about selling yourself short or telling yourself you can't do things. This isn't about settling. This is about saying that most of us have a constant internal voice telling us that we're not doing enough. And we have this external pressure of aim high, scale faster, grow more, go big or go home. And these two things, this internal noise that we're not doing enough and this external noise of go big or go home, makes it really hard to just be like, shit, I think I'm doing just fine. So this is not just specific to money, though obviously we're here to talk about money, but this enoughness can happen in so many domains of our life. I'm not exercising enough. I'm not practicing enough mindfulness. I'm not sleeping enough. I'm not resting enough. And we also have to think about how can we get comfortable with where I'm at now? And yes, of course, maybe you have a goal for saving $100 extra or negotiating a bit of a raise or raising your rates if you're a therapist in private practice. It's not that we stop setting those goals, but it's that we acknowledge where we are now, seeing if there is enoughness in it and getting comfortable there. I've shared before on this podcast, and I'll keep sharing, that my personal kind of inner barometer for whether or not a project I'm doing is good enough is like, is it 80% good? Because 80% to me, that's like a solid B. That is a good enough place for me to be to start taking action. Because if I wait as a recovering perfectionist to get to 100% or 110%, I often will be waiting a lot longer than getting started. And particularly when it comes to things like money, waiting to understand credit scores 110% before working on improving your credit score, the longer you put off taking action because you want to do it the right way, the more you're actually harming yourself. Same thing goes with something like investing. If you wait to start investing until you understand 110% of everything about investing, the more you put off getting started in investing and starting getting some of the benefits of investing, which is compound interest, earning money on the money that your money earns, which sounds like a tongue twister, but it's very real. So when we think about enoughness for our money and the information that we have, do I have enough information to make a decision about this thing? Do I have enough information to negotiate a raise at work? Do I have enough information to open up that Roth IRA and start contributing money into a low-cost index fund? And if that all sounded like gibberish, that's okay. The more exposure you have to language like this, the better off. You can type those things into Google and start learning. Do I have enough trust in myself that I can raise my rates if I'm a therapist in private practice and know that most of my clients will be okay with it? So this is super, super important, is getting comfortable with good enough. It's not about all or nothing. It's not about you either have a scarcity or an abundance mindset. It's about saying I have enough to move through this and that I can cope with this. That's how we overcome this idea of scarcity mindset, is not to say, oh, I'm going to just click my heels and hope that money rains down on me. I also think that can be really damaging. But to say, I understand why my brain does this. I understand why my brain goes into thinking that certain things are limited resources. And I also understand that the answer isn't just to think happy thoughts, but actually we can take proactive action by getting comfortable with a good enough mindset. And I hope that this quick, snappy, sunnier take on scarcity mindset helps you to take action. And I would invite you to think about, what's something in my personal finance life right now that I'm experiencing a less than enoughness relationship with? And how can I get to good enough? What does good enough look like? Am I at a place where if I had just a touch more information or a little bit of outside accountability, I could take that wise, aligned action? Okay, I hope that helps alleviate some of the anxiety around scarcity and abundance and helps you to get more comfortable moving into a healthier relationship with your money. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please do me a favor and rate and review the podcast on your podcast player of choice. This quick but meaningful action helps to support this show and helps others discover it too. I love connecting with my listeners, so if something resonates, please take a screenshot of the episode, share it out on your stories, and tag me at Mind Money Balance. This podcast would not be possible without my team. I want to thank RJ Basilio, who edits this podcast, and Liberty Salas, who creates the graphics and adds transcripts to it to make it more accessible. Finally, quick disclaimer, everything on this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Neither the host or guests are rendering legal, financial, accounting, mental health, investing, medical, or other professional advice. If you want professional help, please seek it out.